This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Nicole, the aliens are here, and once they're done probing us and stealing all our technology and draining the Mediterranean Sea of its water, they're going to work up a hunger. And Nicole, once the aliens have worked up that hunger, they're going to need someone to feed them.
Why don't we just take them to, like, Marie Callender's or something?
Well, is it strawberry pie season?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scher.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we are debating what is the best Marie Callender's frozen pie?
Mississippi Mudslide! Or is it the silk pie? Chocolate silk pie?
The chocolate silk pie from Marie Callender's. No, we are warning you of the impending alien invasion. This is not new news. New news! Shout out to Jason Kelsey, friend of the show. It's from his podcast. But somebody once posed us the question, when the aliens finally land on Earth, what is the first food that you would feed them? Now, people probably posed this about a year ago, and we were like, this could be a whole podcast episode, but it is simply too stupid. We need to wait for people to get stupid enough to catch up with how stupid we are. And Nicole, the time has finally come because of one man named David Grush.
David Grush.
Tell him about David Grush. What do you know about him?
He has an interesting face. He has a trusting face. But behind the eyes,
See,
it gives me pause.
No, for sure. He, to me, looks like somebody who would be telling me that aliens are here, but not like the ancient aliens guy that's like,
aliens.
Aliens, man.
Aliens.
Not that guy, but he looks exactly like aliens. A person testifying in front of Congress saying that aliens are here. And
well, he didn't say aliens here. He said non-human biologics.
That are in UFOs, which are called UAPs now.
Which I interpreted as two dogs going on a joyride. And they were like, you know, like in like Dukes of Hazzard. I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah, yeah.
How like it goes in the air.
Sure, sure, sure.
And like for a moment, that car is an unidentified flying object.
That's a good point.
So I think he just found the Dukes of Hazzard's car with two doggies in it.
Did it still have the Confederate flag on it?
Oh, did it have a Confederate flag?
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard car. It was called the General Lee, and it had the Confederate flag on the top. They didn't take it off the merch until like way later.
Is that true?
So you're saying the racist dogs, they're flying this car through the air. David Grush sees it, goes testifies in front of Congress.
That's the only logical point.
It's the only thing that I can think of. I saw a tweet yesterday that was like an RIP and it was some year anniversary of a monkey that the Russians.
The IKEA monkey?
No, it's like a monkey that the Russians sent into space.
Aww.
And they sent two monkeys into space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the monkeys successfully returned and another monkey just floated out into space. And it was
what
like RIP that monkey.
Oh.
Because that monkey's a non-human biologic in a, you know.
So do you think that's the non-human biologic that was the UFO? in the UFO?
No, I think, listen, there, 2004 had like a big bombshell report. They called it the tic-tac-toe incident, you know.
I don't know about the tic-tac-toe incident.
I think it was fighter pilots in San Diego, maybe, who claimed they saw an unidentified aircraft. And there was a video of it, but it was just a dot flying around.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm not a personal believer in aliens. I don't believe they've ever made contact.
Really?
I don't think there's a big government conspiracy that they're keeping them from us. I think other life exists in the universe, and I think it's mathematically completely impossible that we will ever make contact with them.
Have you seen Prometheus?
Yes, I've seen Prometheus.
That movie rocks.
That movie rocks. I love alien movies. So many. I read so much sci-fi. Tic-tac, not tic-tac. Did you call it the tic-tac-toe incident?
You
oh my
did.
God, the tic-tac incident. whatever. I love stories about aliens. I read a lot of Vonnegut, you know, the Book of Strange New Things, one of my favorite books of all time. It's about aliens, you know what I mean? But I don't personally believe that we'll ever make contact. I think it's pretty impossible.
I totally think we're going to talk to aliens.
Well, do you believe that there are aliens currently here? Sorry, not aliens, non-human biologics. We know what you're implying.
Right now, like on Earth's surface?
Yes.
Yeah.
No way.
I think they've been here since like... Since like, I don't know, like the 1911.
Yeah, since 1911. Oddly specific year. You know like how long it takes to travel from any
Speed
possibly
light.
Habitable? Yeah, and those were like Speed so light. Many light years. Anyways, neither here nor there. Listen, I know he's testifying in front of Congress, but like, I think he's just a kook. I think there's just kooks out there
no,
who say things.
Can
but
I
also
just
know the CIA just like plants conspiracy theories to get people to talk about it and make other conspiracy theories not seem true. It's called COINTELPRO. Look it up. But like,
can I just say?
Yeah, please.
Why didn't the lady that was asking him questions, the Congress lady, why didn't she ask if they were dogs?
If you let Nicole and I run this place, I swear to God, corruption would be finished. UFOs, dogs would be flying in non-racist cars all across the streets of America. It would be rad. Subway would be free.
If Josh and I were members of the Congress, it would be the most fun Congress ever.
Yeah, we're going to launch a campaign right off the back of this podcast.
We tried to do that with the hot dog is a sandwich.
Yeah, pretty failed campaign, we're being honest. But we learned a lot from that. We learned
a
lot.
We made campaign shirts.
We sold some of those shirts.
That was good.
That was a good time. This is a food podcast, ostensibly, right?
Yeah, it is. So, no, ostensibly. Use that term loosely.
We're now going to talk about, Nicole, since the aliens are currently here on Earth, according to David Grush.
And me.
And Nicole, except they're dogs. What would be the food that you would serve them first to show them what, I was going to say America is all about, but it's the world. But also, do you want to see a fun map?
I love maps.
Do you want to see a fun map? Hold on.
My brother's really into maps.
I closed out the map.
My brother used to collect maps, atlases, and he would like draw like roads that like weren't found yet in maps. He rocks. Hey, Sal.
So okay. This is a map of reported UFO sightings around the world by country. As you can see, they're like all in America and a little bit in Great Britain and then none elsewhere.
Why?
I don't know the exact methodology that this map was going for, but UFO sightings are a very uniquely American thing.
Oh.
Because we're paranoid and obsessed with them. And also we have digested so much movies and media and culture about aliens. So if aliens do land, it's going to be in America because we're the only one that thinks about them. It's like Santa Claus. He's powered by Christmas cheer. Aliens are powered by our own belief in them. So they land in America, Nicole.
Yeah.
What is the first food that you feed them?
Let me answer your question with a question.
I'd rather you answer it with an answer.
Hear me out. Are there any food items that do not contain water? Real question. That like have like 0% water in them. That's real question.
I don't know about like 0%, 0%, but like freeze drying food, right? Uh-huh. Is a way of removing water from food very efficiently.
Because in my mind, aside from the Prometheus, do you hear that?
Dude, there's just crickets in our podcast room.
That was crazy.
Which is also our kitchen.
It's also, you know, when we say something.
It used to be our office, too.
Used to say something funny. Crickets.
We're not funny.
Okay. Like, so you know how the alien, I think that the aliens that are like Prometheus exist, but also, have you ever seen Signs, the movie Signs?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there's a movie called Signs, and it's
Night Shyamalan, Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
he puts
Mel
a knife underneath the door to see the reflection.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
And a spoiler.
I haven't seen it.
Spoiler, can I tell you the spoiler?
Spoiler, I'm not gonna watch it.
The aliens are, like, they die when we put water on them. So I think...
That's how the movie Signs it? That's the big M. Night Shyamalan reveal in Signs?
Yeah, they come to a planet.
It's water?
They come to a planet that's all water, and, like, water is what kills them.
Well, no, never going to watch Signs. M. Night, that was M. Night Shyamalan, right? Am I making that up?
I think they would eat something that is not water because I think their bodies are not able to digest water.
What do you mean their bodies? Who are they? The dogs?
The non-human biologics.
We know nothing about the non-human biologics.
Okay, this is just...
That's what makes it so tough.
It's just... This is a thought exercise.
No, I agree. I agree. But why are you assuming they couldn't digest water?
Because it's Signs. Because the movie...
Here's my thing about this question, okay?
What's up?
Is that, one, I do like this thought experiment. And I think if we were to turn this, we'll get to a point eventually where we're talking about stuff.
Just have fun. Just hold on, buckle up.
I think the real thought experiment in this is almost like, what if there was somebody with amnesia and they had never had food? They never remembered food, right? It's just like a wandering traveler. What would you feed them to be most representative of all the food on Earth? What is the best forward? But I do want to talk about aliens more because...
Okay, yes.
Cats can't taste sugar, right?
I don't know.
That's like a thing. Cats don't taste sweet.
Aww.
Or maybe it's, I think it's sweet. Yeah, I think cats can't like register the taste of sugar.
Okay, cute.
Because they're carnivores, right? So their bodies don't run on like glucose, I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that true? If you know, yeah, it cannot taste sugar. So a cat, which is like very similar to us in terms of DNA.
Uh-huh.
It lives on Earth. It's a mammal, yada, yada. It has fundamentally different taste buds than us. We have no idea what a cat experiences when it eats. We would have no idea what an alien experiences when it eats. We have no idea if their version of eating. Yeah, I mean, plants, right? Fungi have huge neural networks. All that photosynthesis, they're absorbing. You know, and there's some dudes that listen to Joe Rogan that absorb light through their beehole, and then that gives them testosterone.
Stunning.
They sun their
stunning.
Taint. They do that, you know what I mean? But I think humans can't normally do that. And so we just don't know at all what these aliens do. But for the thought experiment...
Yes.
Of if there was somebody that had no knowledge of Earth and you wanted to feed them one thing when they got here, what would it be? I mean, what would your strategy be?
KFC Double Down.
You think that the KFC Double Down is the pinnacle of human achievement in food?
I think so. I do. It's discontinued, right? Did they bring it back?
They brought it back temporarily, so they discontinued it, but it was such a cultural phenomenon that it literally like moved to other countries.
Oh, wow.
And they started making like Double Down burgers because the Double Down was breaded or
it's
seasoned.
Breaded chicken.
Chicken breasts.
And then a cheese, and then another one?
Cheese, bacon, some sort of special sauce, another thing of breaded chicken, which almost makes it a chicken cordon bleu, right? Cured
which
pork, cheese, you know what I mean? Yeah. Chicken on the outside. But that moved to, like, Indonesia. They did, like, a Double Down burger with a beef patty shoved in between.
Oh, that's so smart.
In the Philippines, check this out, Double Down hot dog.
Oh, so smart.
Nobody loves hot dogs like the Philippines does. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Pure Foods Hot Dogs basketball team. It's a basketball team called the Hot Dogs.
I know.
Yeah, okay, good.
You told me about it.
It's my favorite thing.
You talked about it on the podcast like four times.
I want to make a Double Down corn dog.
Do whatever you want.
Here's the thing. You take, like, a chicken breast, and you cut a hole in it, and you shove a hot dog in the chicken breast. Uh-huh. Batter that, fry it. What's to stop you from doing that?
Stop me.
Yeah.
This is your dish.
Well, why haven't
you're gonna
you
make,
done
are you
it
gonna make it for aliens? Why haven't I done it? Because I don't need to do it. I don't like corn dogs. Remember?
Well, we don't know what the aliens like, though. They might like corn dogs.
Everybody likes KFC Double Downs.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But.
Lollipop?
But you got cured pork products in there. You're mixing meat. Like, what if.
Oh, they're kosher?
We or don't know. Halal? The aliens could be Jewish.
Or Muslim.
Or Muslim.
Or Christian.
Zoroastrian.
Buddhist?
Baha'i?
We just listed.
Taoist. We don't know what the aliens' belief system is.
I don't think they have a belief system. I think they just exist.
I think we should serve them. Wait, what do you mean they don't have a belief system? Everything is a belief system.
That's not true.
I think anything intelligent
is atheism
enough,
a belief system?
No, but I think that
if
like...
If you are void of belief, does that mean you have belief?
No, I think so. I think especially an atheist has more belief than an agnostic, right?
Well, yeah, because they believe in an omnipresent source.
Sure.
Which are aliens.
Potentially. I think that anything intelligent enough to be able to travel here would have some sort of belief system and some sort of...
Why would you assume?
Because I think that to be able to collectivize, right? You've read Sapiens.
I have it, but my dad has told me to read it for the past... He honestly WhatsApps me videos of like snippets of Sapiens.
I love that.
Saying, read this, Baba. This is good book, Baba. Read it. Watch it, Baba. And I just don't.
I got really bored listening to the book on tape of Sapiens and started listening to fantasy football podcasts again. But one of the things that allowed humans to collectivize to be able to work together, right? And that's the essence of science, right? Uh-huh.
it's working together.
Yeah, it is. No, honestly, it's being able to share data with each other and being able to plateau up once somebody invents something, right? Once somebody invented the wheel, suddenly then anything else that controls...
Bicycle.
Okay, that was like several hundred thousand years after the wheel. But
yeah, you know what I mean.
But once somebody invented the bicycle, then they could invent the
car-ish.
Can I tell you a quick aside? I was talking to a...
Josh, right now this is an aside of an aside of an aside, but yes.
All right, so I was talking to a chef, right? And he was like, man, it's crazy how back in the day, he was talking about a 1,000-year-old cookbook. He's like, man, they were able to cook like such complex dishes, like taking peacocks and skinning them and feathering them and then stuffing the insides and redecorating to look like a peacock. All these. And I was like, yeah, man, like this kind of weird medieval but gilded age of food was really incredible. And he goes, yeah, but the thing I don't understand is how could they create such complex dishes if they couldn't invent a car? And I was like, I don't think we're going to see eye to eye on this. The point is, Nicole, the car isn't just a car. Right? It's literally a product of a million inventions.
That's true.
Somebody had to invent a bolt.
Yeah.
To bolt the car together.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Somebody, oh my God, the combustion engine? That was like a miracle.
Oh my gosh.
That was a miracle. No more animal labor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. A car? A wheel?
That's what I'm saying.
The wheel? Are you
high? Just like a bowl of white rice.
Are you high?
Because I think like rice is the most eaten cereal grain. Maggie, can you look up most eaten cereal grains on the planet? So there's a theory that Marilyn Monroe, right?
What about her?
Knew about the aliens.
And that's why they killed her?
So the CIA killed
her. I thought it was because she was hanging out with JFK.
Yeah, and when they were hanging out, what do you think they were doing? Talking about aliens. And that's why they murked her.
KFC double tap. What's up? Rice, wheat, and corn.
Is that the number one, though? Is rice number one?
I think what I would like to be the aliens. Okay, let's think about it. Well, the thing I would do first if an alien came up to you and said, I'm hungry, what would I do?
In what language?
They would just telepathically.
Gleep glop. And you'd be like, here's a Reese's peanut butter cup.
No, they would probably communicate in those circles like in that movie.
The heptapods, yeah.
Yeah, what movie is that?
Arrival.
In Arrival. They would probably speak to me in circles, but I would see the circles in my brain because they have telepathy.
No, Amy Adams had to learn what the circles meant.
Yeah, no, but they would just put the circles in my head and then I would know that meant like I'm hungry. And then what would I be?
So we've established that the aliens can draw circles in your head signifying they're hungry. That's okay. An incredible start to this. But then you now, Nicole, have the task of feeding them.
Yes, I do. I don't know. I mean, I think what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen those videos? Of in Korea, they sit a baby down and they have like a bunch of different options for the, so like they put like a tennis racket and the baby will be super athletic. They put a stack of books. The baby will be super studious. I would do that with different foods and I'd be like the food group. So I'd have like, I don't know, like cheese and milk on one section, a big bowl of grapes and strawberries in another. And then I would have steamed vegetables, and then I would have rice and like barley or whatever, and then I would have meat. Very scary if they choose meat.
The meat's just a test on whether they're friend or foe.
And then the meat, and then what's the other one? Fats. I would just have like olive oil and a tub of lard, and then they would just sit there. I'd be like, okay, take a seat, and then they would pick whichever one they gravitate towards. That's the only way I could see it happening in real life.
I'd give Gleep Glop like a Camel Crush. You know, I'd be like, this is how we rock in, this is how we rock in California, bro. You want to go to Vans Warped Tour?
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If an alien came up to me and said bleep bloop, and I understood that to mean hunger, I feel like I would want to make that alien my best friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Men in America are lonelier than ever.
Yeah, I'll be second. You
know, this is happening. And I don't know what necessarily culturally is happening to make, you know, I think it's part of its economic anxiety.
I think it's a lot with technology.
A lot of technology. You know, we're more isolated than ever.
Yeah, dating
more
apps.
Convenience dating apps. I mean, it's, you know, we're kind of like hypersexualized and completely desexualized. And we don't know how to form platonic friendships anymore. But in comes this alien into my life, Nicole. Uh-huh. And suddenly I'm like, well, we can hang out. We can go bowling.
You're going to bowling with the alien?
Yeah.
Will you feed it food from the bowling alley?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because in this scenario, the first food I'm going to feed it is, it's going to be chicken tendies with honey mussy.
See, KFC, you know? Double down. They want chicken.
I think they want chicken. KFC. Well, hold on. No. I think there's a reason for this.
KFC.
I think there's a reason for this.
What?
Fried chicken is one of the most universal foods on the planet.
Totally.
Every culture out there makes fried chicken. We did a whole podcast episode about the best fried chicken from around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we can kill three birds with one stone. One, I get to show this alien how super sick I am at bowling, right? Two.
Are you good at bowling?
We're best friends. Now I'll have to get good at bowling before we go do that. You
Step
know what
one.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
But then two, you know, he, and it's going to be a dude because like, you know, like dudes rock. Okay. And I'd find a dude. If like a female alien came up to me.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, dudes rock. If it was a female alien, I'd be like, whoa, I'm engaged, you know? And then I'd be like, do you have a male friend that I can hang out with? We'd go bowling. We'd eat chicken. I could get to show him, you know, one of the world's greatest foods and some honey mussy, you know, over at like Bolero in West LA.
Love Bolero. Yeah.
That's where you take an alien bowling?
That's where I took my brother bowling.
Yeah. Sal can come hang out with the alien too. We'll chill, dude. We'll create a little, men's group.
I just think it's so interesting that we assume that the alien would eat the same things we eat, though. Like matter, like the same
sure.
matter.
Sure,
like
sure, that, sure.
Like what if the alien was... Yeah. Jump down on a rope. What if the alien just wants to go how to like the side of the Pyramid of Giza? Like, who am I to stop the alien?
No, that's a fair point. Like, so say we're at Bolero and I'm eating chicken tendies with honey mussy, and you know we're sucking down like a I don't know, like a what's that one beer that I like?
Yingling.
No, but we can't get Yingling in California. The Einstock, the Icelandic white ale.
Oh yeah, okay.
And like he just eats the bottle.
Or like he's eating the pin.
We're gonna get kicked out. Alien is in there. If he's not bothering anybody, what? You're fine in Bolero. You can chill at the Bolero with an alien.
Yeah, like why do we assume that the alien would eat the same matter as us? Like we can't just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What planet do you think this alien is visiting us from? Do you think it has water, or do you think it's a gaseous planet? Do you think it's a rock planet?
Yeah, probably a little bit of probably a little bit of both. From what I know about planets, Nicole, is that a little bit both. Just like a little Scotia Beach, you know? Hold on. If I were to make an educated guess, I'd say a red dwarf planet.
red
dwarf planet is what I bet the aliens are coming from.
Hey, Josh.
A little bit of it. You're talking gas versus rocks and water. I'd say like a skosh.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know this or not, but this is my favorite podcast we've ever done.
This is easily the best podcast we've ever done.
The best podcast ever. We've talked about so much.
Yeah, I think about a lot.
Yeah.
In a lot of movies, aliens are portrayed as roughly the same size as us.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
That can't be true,
Do you
right?
Think they're bigger or littler?
Littler. They're going to be so small, which is going to be such a problem when we go bowling. How am I supposed to tell him?
I think they're going to tower over us. I think they're going to be like...
Why?
I think they're going to be as tall as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, that's the shortest alien.
The shortest alien.
Is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What's the tallest alien?
I don't know.
Manute Bol?
Statue of Liberty?
George Mirason?
Statue of Liberty?
You know, you're saying there's that big of a range. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a 7'1", 7'2" man.
Yeah.
Up to the Statue of Liberty, which, Maggie, how tall is the Statue of Liberty? This is very important to me right now. Height, Statue of Liberty, up to, 305 feet. So you're saying from, humans have a variation from, you know, let's say like, you know, 4 feet tall.
No, when they're born. When they're born, how small are humans? They're like.
You're saying an infant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, an infant of this species.
Yes.
They start out at 7 feet to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Up, and then they get up to 300 feet.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I think though,
Thank you.
Check this out, though. As technology advances.
Yeah.
We used to think when we were kids, do you remember going over to like a friend's house and they had like a huge TV and you're like,
sure.
Oh my God, 20 years in the future, TVs are going to be like movie theaters in everybody's house. And then what are the screens that everybody watches stuff on now?
Little. In my palm.
So tiny.
Like this.
They're so small. Exactly.
Just this, like this.
Show the people how small that screen is.
Have you ever seen
anything like that? This used to be called a television and it was huge. And we thought that's the direction it was going. What I'm saying is, as technology advances, we get smaller and smaller. You know what I mean?
Crying.
Soon iPhones will be the size of a postage stamp. They got closer to the iPad mini.
iPad mini. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think aliens are going to be like...
Oh my God!
They're going to be Lilliputian in stature.
I know what the aliens are going to eat.
What's that?
All of the tech waste that we've been making.
Oh.
I think that the aliens are going to come, they're going to eat all of our trash, and then the world will be solved of global warming.
Yay! And then the Christians all go to Jerusalem and get raptured up, and then the Jews stay. That's what I think is going to happen. When you said you know what the aliens are going to eat, and you start saying olive, I thought you said Olive Garden. I was like, oh, yeah, unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks.
No.
That's a good option for the aliens.
They're going to eat all of our tech waste. And, like, you know, like, you see these, like, really sad videos of, like, the Ganges River and there's, like, trash in it and stuff. Yeah. I think the aliens are going to come and just go.
But you think there's something unique about trash that they want. How do they know it's trash?
It's not trash.
They're coming here to help.
Yeah, let me tell you.
They know we're in trouble.
One man's trash is an alien's.
Sure. I get that philosophically, but I'm wondering why they prefer to eat that and not the fresh materials.
It's because they understand that the humans no longer need it.
Yeah, so these are like friendly god aliens that we are.
Yeah, I told you, Prometheus aliens that are scared of water, that like the aliens from Signs that speak to us in circles telepathically, like in Arrival. Keep up.
I watched a movie once where they made friends with an alien and they drank a bunch of beer with it and they had a fun time. What it was Mark Paul Gosselaar and it was called Beer Money. Maggie, can you Google that movie real quick? Because then there's another alien.
Do you not think it's a real movie?
No, honestly, I might have hallucinated it. Yeah, you got to do Beer Money movie and then a Mark Paul Gosselaar. That's right. That's Mark Paul Gosselaar. There it is.
Wow.
Yeah, 2001, fantastic movie. They find an alien. It's kind of a spoof on E.T., but they drink beer with the alien and they like smoke pot and they party.
We didn't even talk about E.T.
I've never seen it.
Did you know that E.T. likes Reese's Pieces?
That was paid ad placement from the Hershey's Corporation,
right? Was it really?
Of course, dude. Anytime you see any of that stuff, that's just paid. That's product placement. That's paid.
But I don't know. Something about Reese's Pieces sounds like that was just a creative choice.
No, like they were definitely trying to market Reese's Pieces at the time, and then they paid to put that in the movie.
Did they ever take Reese's Pieces up to space?
That's a good question. That's a thing I don't know. Well, what do we know about space
food?
We did
crazy.
An episode about
you...
it. We freeze-dried our own space bacon.
Yeah,
once.
We did. We made space bacon. Oh my God, dehydrated ice cream. We didn't make that, but they used to sell
astronaut
it.
Astronaut ice cream. I remember that.
They used to sell it.
Tastes pretty bad. Tastes like stale cotton candy.
I loved it.
But it was, I went to the, can I tell you another thing?
Of course.
I hate space.
Like, you don't want to go to space ever?
No. All the kids were like, I want to be an astronaut. And I was like, why? What are you going to find up there? Yourself? Certainly not. Anything different than down here? No.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I don't like learning about space. I think we should... I think NASA was generally a mistake. Do I know anything about it? No, absolutely not. But I don't think we should be funding any sort of space exploration.
I'm sorry. I love space. I would like to learn more about space.
Well, you can come to Bolero and like hang out with me and Bleep Bloop. I don't want to harsh your vibe on
best.
That. You know,
this
normally
so
it's kind of like mostly dudes. What have we learned today? We planned to talk more about food though, right? We planned when we were going to talk about this episode, we planned to talk more about food than we actually did. I want you all to know that. We didn't intend for it to end up like this.
But then we just sat down and the synergy happened and sometimes you just got to let it happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to let this stuff flow freely.
Why do we think that we wouldn't eat these aliens?
Oh, why?
Here's the thing. Octopi are like smarter than humans, right?
But they don't eat us.
No, but I'm saying we eat them.
So you think we would eat the foreign, the aliens?
I'm saying that cannibalism, it's somewhat recently, is a very disgusting thing to humans. Some cultures still do it. Uh-huh. Many cultures did it in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's off the table. But we'll eat any other creature, right?
Just about.
Yeah, we've illegalized dog trade because people, you know, have soft spots for them. But the aliens come in. Why are we not viewing them as a potential food source?
It depends how many they are and how plentiful they are and how we can cultivate them to grow in mass.
Yeah, we don't know how they'll cook up either.
Yeah, we don't know how they're going to taste.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, we don't have to eat the aliens.
How about this? How about the aliens come here, they eat us, and we're free?
God bless America, home of the Whopper.
A home that I love.
Beside her, guide her to the light that I shine on above.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say, all of it. Now it's time to find out what other wacky idiots are rattling out there in the universe with all our alien fans. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Or how the aliens would say it.
That's what they would say.
Thank you so much.
I almost threw up just by doing that. Before we get to your opinions, we're going to review a review here. This is where we read a review on Apple Podcasts, which you should absolutely go ahead and fill one out. And please give us 5 stars or 1 star, whatever you feel we deserve.
No, 5 stars, please.
And this is from Mixed_Kid6. Good show. And yes, children listen to the show. Signed, Child.
Thank you, Child.
This was in response, I believe, Nicole, to us saying dirty, naughty things. And
shame.
You asked if children listen to the show, and I said, no. But here we have a child. Obviously, you can't fake.
I said no. Are you sure I said no?
But no, I said no. I didn't think a child listened to the show. I didn't think they'd be interested in like the etymology of ravioli, but here we are. Good on you, kid. Pretty good review. I'd give this review a 4-star.
Review. Okay.
Yeah.
I give it 5 stars.
Is it because they're a child? You're sort of like...
Both.
I feel like it wasn't descriptive enough. I want to know what kind of child they are. Are they a big child, a small child?
It says Mixed_Kid6. Yeah, they're probably six, and they're mixed.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then they decide child. Huh. Well, yeah, 4 stars. I'm sticking with the rating. Let's get to our first opinion.
Hi, Nicole and Josh. This is Jake out of Ames, Iowa. Love the show.
That's where Iowa State
My
is.
My wife and I were frying up chicken and latkes the other Heck night. Yeah.
Fun.
And then I realized, shoot, I don't have any sauce to put on my latke.
Oh,
and then I remembered, we have this little part of our fridge where we keep all of our sauce packets
from various
restaurants. And I put some Taco Bell fire sauce
on
the latke, and it was the bomb. And I imagine that there are a lot of other sauce packets like that that would be phenomenal latke toppings. And my opinion is, you should save those little packets of sauce and then use them
always
for things like latkes, and they're gold.
Incredible opinion.
I agree.
First thing off the bat, this person does not have a single sauce in their fridge that is not in a leftover sauce packet.
I don't know.
I have at least 15 sauces in my fridge at any
Me
given
too.
Moment.
Me too.
But that said, leftover sauces from restaurants, which one of those do you think goes best on a latke?
I would do a hoisin and sriracha mix.
Dude.
Yeah.
Little pho action?
Yeah. Pho latke.
Fallacchio. Sorry, children. I was thinking of all the sauces at restaurants to put on a latke, and I ran through them all in my mind, the way your life would flash before your eyes.
Wow, like
death.
A Rolodex?
Like a Rolodex. Wow. Like going. Bum, and I bum, didn't bum. Find one that would be bad on a latke.
Huh.
Which I think speaks maybe more to the versatility of latkes than anything else.
Sure.
But standouts in that, McDonald's Honey Mussy.
Oh, sure.
They make a good Honey Mussy.
Yeah.
Duck sauce, you know, like the kind of orangey goo.
Sure.
From a Chinese restaurant. That'd be fantastic. Hot mustard would be great on there.
I like hot mustard, yeah.
Ranch, obviously. Ranch and fried potatoes. Barbecue
sauce.
But
you can't keep ranch in the sauce packet drawer. You can't keep ranch in the sauce
packet. Well, he said it was in the fridge, which is...
Oh, he keeps... Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
But also, no, you can put ranch in a drawer. They don't refrigerate it at the restaurants. It's just vacuum sealed.
Are you sure?
I've gotten really warm ranch. I mean, ranch on a... You go to a grocery store, the ranch isn't refrigerated if it's unopened.
That's the grocery store, though.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, fast food...
Maybe.
Probably,
maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. No, you're right.
I'm dipping it in the ranch. that's all there is to it.
I had one thing to say. Ames, Iowa is home to one of my favorite YouTube/music artists. Her name is Leslie Hall, and I love her, and I love people from Ames, Iowa.
Go Cyclones.
Just had to say that.
Hi. My opinion is that I would rather know my food, knows where it comes from. I'd rather know where the animal came from, what the animal's name is.
Oh.
I'd rather know where the animal I eat is coming from than be completely removed from that animal. I'm a farmer, and that's my opinion.
Shout out farmers.
Do you want to take this one? Because I have to think on mine a little bit.
Nicole has to think about this.
Yeah.
No, I think this is incredibly important. And honestly, I wish it was something that I practiced more than I currently preach because I am preaching about it often, but we often cook with a lot of animal viscera, right? With the offal, we cook with the head, we cook with the tongue, all this. And anytime we show specifically an animal head, I understand that it can be a somewhat jarring image for people to see, but we'll get a lot of people being like, you monster, how could you possibly show that? And it's like every chicken nugget that you've ever eaten
had a face.
It had a face, right?
Yeah.
Every animal, every steak, every hamburger, all this stuff. Until I was 10 years old, I didn't know that ground beef came from a cow. I thought ground beef grew from the ground because nobody told me that. And we're so far removed from our food system. To me, that was just something that was bought in a package at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And now I had no idea to know. I once met a girl in college who did not know that chicken, the meat, was connected to chicken, the animal. I swear to God.
Wow.
She was at one of the top research institutions in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. And we get chicken thigh and she goes, what are these hard things? I'm like, they're bones. She's like, what do you mean? Chicken doesn't have bone in it. And so I think we are very, very far removed. And I think it's incredibly important. Eat less meat, eat higher quality meat. And I know that's a very privileged thing to say because high quality meat costs so much freaking money. And it's so easy to get a giant tube of ground beef from a grocery store. But there's going to have to be a reckoning with factory farming in the somewhat near future. And I hope we can get back to more local, sustainable.
Sure. The one thing that I thought of is knowing the animal's name. And I think personifying it is something that I have a little bit of an issue with. Because number one, every time I see Vital Farms eggs and I see the name of the chicken, I do feel a little bit bad that I'm taking this chicken's eggs. But at the same time...
those eggs are discharged, right?
What do you mean? They're discharged? I don't know what that means.
Like those eggs aren't going to have, or wait, hold on.
I don't know.
Not all eggs are like fertilized that chickens lay. This is like a very basic thing that now I'm questioning myself on.
Oh, I don't know.
Not stealing the babies. You're effectively stealing the menses.
Oh, I'm stealing the periods?
You're stealing the chicken periods, which like I think should be fair game.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. But long story short, I feel bad whenever I say, hi, this is Dolly. Dolly is a chicken on our farm and she helped give you some of these eggs. And I'm like, thank you, Dolly, I think.
Well, you should be grateful and you should feel bad.
Yeah, I'm grateful and I feel bad. My family had a chicken in Iran named Pofak, and there's pictures of Pofak in our family albums.
Aww.
And then I asked my mom, what'd you guys do with Pofak? She's like, ate him.
Yeah, and what I'm else
like,
you do with the chicken?
And I'm like, didn't that suck? She's like, kind of. Got to do what you got to do. And I guess it's just different. Like, I guess factory raising animals wasn't that prevalent back then. But
yeah, I also think that people would feel differently about eating cheap produce if you had a card that said, hey,
here's my name. I'm Mike. I'm the farmer that picked this, and I get paid like $4 a day because we've somehow made like modern day slavery legal within the agriculture industry. Look up the Immokalee Farm Workers Union, I believe they're called. Kind of blew the lid off how much tomato farmers are actually getting paid. And it's a bummer. Yeah, food system's pretty messed up.
Yeah,
and if you think about it for too long, you get real sad about it. And, you know, we're all trying
Hopefully
our best
it'll
out here.
Get better.
You know?
Hopefully we can enact some change sooner rather than later.
I'd name an animal like Bozo. You're eating Bozo the goat, you know?
Have and you ever had funny. An edible animal, like an animal that you would eat?
No, I've had like pet.
But you never had
guinea
like an
pigs, and I've eaten a guinea pig. They're commonly eaten in Peru and Ecuador. It's called cuy, and it's delightful. And cute. I also love guinea pigs, and I don't see anything wrong with eating something that I love.
Next.
Hey, Josh and Nicole. Another Josh here.
Hi.
I just had this amazing realization outside of Seattle on vacation. If you eat Ghirardelli sea salt caramel chocolate after eating flaming hot Cheetos, it gives off major peppermint vibes.
Oh. Sick.
Chili mint? That's interesting.
That sounds great. I love both of those things separately. Never thought to eat them back to back like that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Nicole. They're lying.
What?
They're lying.
Have you done this before?
No, I haven't done this before.
So how do you know if they're lying or not?
The chemical compounds are so much different. You're talking about like capsaicin heat from chili powder.
You can't just call someone a liar like that.
Versus like a mentholated sensation from peppermint. I think this man is lying for clout. Nicole, he is coming on here, and he is.
I get our podcast is popular, but like it's not that popular. People are clout chasing on it. No, I don't think that's true at all. Maybe it does feel that way for him. Give him a chance.
I would like to try it, and I believe you, and you deserve to be heard. Also, it just sounds like a fun day. Vacation, Seattle, little like treat, mint, you know, little chocolate, sea salt caramel, flaming hot Cheetos.
Is Seattle known as the Windy City? Real question.
No, Seattle is known as the Emerald City.
Oh, what's the Windy City?
Chicago.
Oops. Never mind.
All right.
I was thinking maybe he was in Seattle, and his mouth was open, and the wind was helping with the, you know.
A crazy thing that I found out though, no, it's not stupid because I found out though that other cities sometimes also have wind. Like, think about this, Nicole. Have you ever like been outside in Los Angeles and you feel something almost sort of like blowing at like, just kind of your hair is moving back and you're like, is that God, you know, like shouting and his breath is, and it's no, but it's called something like wind. So other cities can also have it. So that could be a possibility in Seattle.
Hey, Josh and Nicole. This is Jacob from your neighbors to the east in the Empire.
Hey, Riverside 951, baby.
Girl Scout cookies episode, and Josh said that he wanted to talk about cults, so I'm going to try and give that opportunity to him.
Yes.
As we all know, cults have a distinct attachment to food, whether it be restrictive diets like Om Shinrikyo,
yes,
the Rajneeshis poisoning salad bars, and of course we all know not to drink the Kool-Aid or Flavor-Aid.
Flavor-Aid, yep.
Now, my question to you is, what cult has the best diet? Which one would you not mind being part of just based on the food? Thank you.
The Source family. Actually, from my knowledge, the Source family was one of those very new age, hippie-ish cults.
Mm-hmm.
Around the Los Angeles area, kind of like part of that like Topanga Canyon or that Laurel Canyon, you know, music movement, a lot of psychedelics and all that. But they opened up actually a vegan restaurant in, it might still be there, but they owned and operated a restaurant for a very long time.
Cool.
And as far as I know, I don't think they were one of like the murdery cults. I think they were one of the fun singing drum circle cults, but also still very culty.
Uh-huh.
That'd be my first one. The second one may be controversial to call it a cult, but it's called Landmark Forum.
Why do you know so much about cults?
I love cults. I just, people's capacity to believe has never stopped astounding me. And I guess as somebody who like grew up around a lot of people with very strong religious beliefs, mostly evangelicals and Mormons, but also knowing that my family was Jewish, but also my mom was kind of into some weird culty stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've always just been fascinated because to me, cult plus time equals religion. So
sure,
there's not a lot of,
I get that,
you know, delineation in my mind. Landmark Forum, though, is a very Tony Robbins-y self-help thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of trappings of cults. And Panda Express is actually, like, kind of formally associated with them.
No way.
It's a very
There's been a lot of problematic stuff
about Landmark, but it is a kind of very self-helpy thing. But again, people thought that's what Nexium was, right? Nexium was just a kind of self-helpy thing.
On Wikipedia, it says companies such as Panda Express and previously Lululemon have paid for and encouraged employees to take part in the Landmark Forum.
Yeah, and then there's stories about like a, you know, Panda Express manager going to a Landmark Forum class and they're like stripped naked and berated in front of a bunch of people. So like very problematic. But that said, I mean, if I was part of Landmark Forum, I feel like I could get free Panda Express for life, and I do love me some orange chicken, baby.
I don't really have an answer. I did just watch How to Become a Cult Leader on Netflix, which is narrated by Peter Dinklage, and he does a great job. He did How to Be a Dictator or something like that.
Oh, How to Be a Tyrant.
How to Be a Tyrant, whatever it was called. And he did How to Be a Cult Leader. And I found a cult called the Buddha Field Cult.
Yeah.
Which was started by a known man named Andreas or Jaime Gomez. And he made them, they were like eating like very fresh.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, they like were like super, they're like super hot. And they could, no dairy, no sugar.
Gluten-free, organic.
And I'm like, Erwan. So, Buddhafield. But I wouldn't want to. I don't think I could.
Everyone thinks that they wouldn't join a cult until you join a cult. You know what I mean? Everyone thinks that they're not the type that could ever join a cult.
Well, that's the kind of people that they want.
That's the kind of people that they want.
They want non-believers. Seekers. And then because they know the non-believers, once they break them, they are true believers.
Yeah, man. I couldn't start a cult.
Yeah, you could.
All right.
Of course you could. You should.
Well, on that note.
Maybe you already do.
You think we have already started a cult in Mythical Kitchen? We don't have a strong enough belief system. We don't have enough, like, internal language. Like, if we, say, had, like, garments that we, like, printed catchphrases on, that'd be one thing, but we don't.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me until I've had my hot dog water. Anyways, thank you so much for stopping by. Hot Dog is the Standard. We got new episodes out every Wednesday on the audio-only version. And then, Sundays, we got videos of us just sitting here.
Yeah, if you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, you can hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1. Yeah!
And on the off chance that you watch this and you're like, my God, I need to watch more of them. They're so intoxicating with their beauty and charm. We have other videos out on this very channel, unless you're listening to Spotify. It's on a YouTube channel. I'll tell you what. It's called Mythical Kitchen. And sometimes we cook. And sometimes I ask Tom Hanks about what happens when you die.
And you eat ramen with Post Malone shirtless.
And other times we just sort of like make a grilled cheese.
See you next time.